everybody. Welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. This is the show where we stay laser focused on buy and hold real estate investing to create passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. And the other half of my family, as always, is on the show with me, my lovely wife. I'm Clayton Morris and she is Natalie Morris. Hey.
Yes, I am. Hi there.
So today we wanted to talk about the coming collapse, the fear of the coming collapse in 2017. There's been a lot of economic data pointing to shaky roads ahead. What shaky bridges? Shaky overpasses, whatever it is, but there's been
uncertain times.
Yeah. And I got, you know, this question a lot from investors, you know, who are like, well, what happens if, you know, things go south, right? What happens if we have another 2008, 2007? And, you know, there's a brand new book out. I actually had a chance to interview a gentleman by the name of Harry Dent a couple of years ago, a really smart guy.
Not to be confused with Harvey.
Harvey Dent, Two-Face from Batman. No, Harry Dent, he's what, an economist, a prognosticator. He wrote a book a few years ago. He's written a lot of books, and he's been spot on many, many, many times with his predictions about economic troubles on the horizon. His most recent book was called The Coming Demographic Cliff. And, you know, I was thinking about it.
Not The Coming Demographic Cliff. It's just called The Demographic Cliff, in case you Google it or look it up.
Okay. So demographic. We'll link all of this up in the show notes. But The Demographic Cliff. And you know what's amazing? What was his thesis in that book?
Okay. Yeah, I did read this book. In 2015, he said there was going to be a big bursting of the bubble and we'd have a big market correction. And what he believes is that free market capitalism and democracy don't necessarily go hand in hand, because free market capitalism means that you let the market sort of adjust on its own like a living and breathing person. But in democracy, we pervert the market so often with laws and regulations and incentives. We sort of take money out here, we squeeze it here, we incentivize here, and we don't let the economy grow and expand and contract as it should, based on natural market forces. And because of that, we will have a big market correction. He thinks now every 5 years, whereas before it was every 10 years, that we would have these sort of big collapses. He predicted by mid-2015. Now, that didn't necessarily happen, but we saw a lot of shaky ground in 2015. And then we saw exactly, as he says, democracy and sort of democratic perversions that helped that not to happen. But he thinks that the government can only go so far as to saving the economy, whereas eventually it is going to fall out underneath us. Now, his new book is called A Sale of a Lifetime, or The Sale of a Lifetime, How the Great Bubble Burst of 2017 Can Make You Rich. So he does think there will eventually be this big market correction, but he thinks that investors can profit from it.
Right. So his whole thesis in this new book, and by the way, we're working to get him on the program here. So I'm excited that we're hopefully going to have him as a guest very, very soon here on the show to talk about the new book. And, one of his thesis in the new book really is that those of you who are out there like investing in gold and silver and those sorts of things, or have a lot of money in the stock market, are really going to be hit hard. And that he said his two things, he said two big takeaways, that cash and cash flow are the things that you want to make sure you have as we are entering 2017. Cash and cash flow. So cash flow. And one of the things he points out in this new book is real estate. Stable real estate investments where you are not buying properties over market value, which is great because that's exactly what we do, you know, at our company and what you and I buy. We're making sure that we're buying properties with a nice little chunk of equity, you know, not a lot, but 10-15%, you know, of equity, which is great. But at least we're not buying over market value. He said, because we will see a dip. We will see some dips in values, but that's fine. He said, because as long as you are renting and as long as there is cash flow, then you are golden. He said the people that are investing in gold and silver and have money in the stock market and who are investing in like mortgage-backed securities or anything like that, you're going to be in for a world of hurt.
And one of the big takeaways I took from his 2015 book, The Demographic Cliff, is that when the going gets tough, meaning the market starts to shake, the tough go shopping because you have built up your cash reserves and now everything's cheap and you can sort of sweep up what's cheap. Now, you know, you may or may not think that that's being someone who takes advantage of market crashes. But again, that's how a lot of people make a lot of money, is that they make sure their financials are solid and they've got enough cash, because cash is king, that they can take advantage of these market corrections. And I want to sort of share the impetus for this podcast is that Clayton was listening to Harvey Dent on a podcast or on a radio show this morning.
Harry Dent,
I'm sorry. And he came home and said, you know, let's talk about this. And so we thought, well, you know, we had a discussion. What's our philosophy? Are we lined up in order to be prepared for this kind of thing? Do we still believe that our buy and hold real estate investments are good investments? And so we thought we would just sort of have this conversation on the podcast, because when these scary people come along, you have to then reevaluate what your values are and what your investment strategies are. So that's why we wanted to do this, not because we think that this guy has it 110% right, because we have a cursory understanding of economics. I consider myself a constant student of economics. I love to study economics, but we are not economists. We just think that you know, we like to understand what people's theories are and then sort of juxtapose them with our own investment strategies.
Right. And, you know, I was struck by this. I love listening to Coast AM. You know, I'm into the paranormal and those sorts of things. So he was a guest on George Norrie's show and they were on for the hour. And, you know, it forced me to get his book. It said, you know what, I want to have him on the show, because he kept bringing up real estate as a safe haven. You know, and George is not like a real estate investor, so he didn't really know like the right questions to ask as it related to real estate. But I thought it was fascinating that unsolicited, he was talking about the power of real estate. And what he was talking about too were the types of properties we buy. So I was even more excited about it, and it emboldened me, you know, because he wasn't talking about in these overpriced areas, right? He was saying the people that are going to get hit are, you know, like the A properties, like the A-list properties, the ridiculously expensive properties. That's what we saw during the last correction. We saw big plummets in values, you know, in the San Francisco and Los Angeles, you know, for the $700,000 house. Now you can pick it up for $400,000. He wasn't talking about that as a safe investment. What he was talking about are the areas where we invest, you know, in the Midwest, where you're able to get properties at 40, 50, 60, 70,000. You may see a little dip in value in 2017, which would enable you even to pick up more properties. But for the most part, you're not seeing a big dip in value. And those are the ones that are continually renting. He was saying that those were the areas where you didn't see a dip in cash flow, which is, you know, which I've mentioned here on the show a number of times. I've talked to a number of high-level investors, Robert Scheman being one of them that we've had here on the show, who own 500 properties and who, you know, own properties in those areas. And yes, they saw a little dip in their income, but I'm sorry, they saw a little dip in their values, but they did not see any dip at all in their rental income during the last crash. One thing that he talks about in this book, and we're going to dive more into it when we have him on the show and obviously when we go through the book, one of the things that he says is that the last course correction was sort of blunted by the government, that it wasn't really allowed to have its full course correction, that because the government sort of intervened, that it actually made it worse. So we're almost like – his point is we're about to have like a second one, the full course correction that we should have had. We didn't get to have it because the government kind of got in the way.
Right. He sort of likens it to like a thumb in the dam, right? Like
right.
You can continue to sort of patch for a while and then the pressure will build up and it will eventually explode.
It's like a night of drinking. Like you need to throw up, but like basically like the country wasn't able to throw up and get it all out of its system.
My analogy wasn't good enough.
Right. I had to take it one step lower.
You have to be gross.
Right. No, I think it's an interesting point that, you know, we're still on shaky ground. Yes, interest rates are at an all-time low, and oh, we don't have these big derivatives, you know, like the movie The Big Short was about, right? These sort of crazy shorting of mortgage-backed or credit default swaps and all these weird investment vehicles and mortgages. But his point was that these banks are still on shaky ground, that
right.
That banks are lending, and the place that they lend the most for the biggest financial product is for a mortgage. More banks that's where they have their money is mortgages. Bottom line, overwhelmingly, that's where they have their money. And interestingly, you talked about this in a speech recently about these percentages. I found this fascinating when Harry said it too, which is, let's say you as Natalie bring $100,000 to the bank and you put it into account. Now that bank, you think, oh, they would probably just be able to lend $100,000 out to Tom. No, they're able to lend out $1 million to people who want to invest because they only need to account for 10% of your deposit. So they can then lend to the power of 10 based on your deposit. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm explaining that well enough, but
right. It's a system called fractional reserve. And if you really get to know this system, you'll realize that most of the money in our economy is an abstraction, that only about 3-4% of the money that's circulated in our economy actually exists in paper form.
It's amazing.
So most of the money in your account is just a computer entry. It's not really like in a vault somewhere. And so that's why you have to be very careful when you choose financial products based on our current federal banking system. And so, you know, one of the things, if you're one of those people who is scared of a market correction, and I think all of us have a little fear in our stomach of a market correction, is to make sure that you own tangible items that are cash producing and cash flowing. So then when you look at your portfolio, how much of it then in your liabilities column is based on bank-related fractional reserve banking products, and be careful of those things. Just make sure that you don't have too much there that's based on these sort of shaky financial products.
Right. So 10% is all they need to account for. And by the way, that deposit, it was your deposit. It wasn't even their own money. So you deposited $100,000. Now they're able to lend out at, you know, at
90% of that or 80% of that, depending.
It's amazing. And that's not even their money. It's your money and they're able to lend out on it. So this question from a listener was, hey, what happens if there's a run on the bank during this coming collapse in 2017? And his point was, yeah, that if you've got your money tied up in these financial products, that could be troublesome. In the bank, in the four, because he prefaced his question by asking about his 401k. And, you know, I came home and I said, you know, how, we've got to, let's move more of our money into real estate. How do we, you know, get it out of the 401k? We know a lot of our investors that we work with at Morris Invest, you know, leverage their 401k to buy rental properties. That's something you and I do every year. We have a whole episode on using your 401k to buy properties. You know, how do you start to maybe make a shift to start thinking about creating cash and cash flow in your life? Liquid cash and cash flow, at which is king, you know, to really protect your family.
Right. And so, you know, when these things happen, we don't say, oh my God, this guy said this. We 110% believe it. And let's start hoarding peanut butter in the basement. Right.
Right.
So instead, we say, okay, let's relook at our portfolio and see how shaky it is and reevaluate our values and say, do we feel safe? And that's all any of us can do, right? Is to look at our portfolio, keep us safe and a steady look on your net worth and your assets column and your liabilities column. And here is where your liabilities column is probably your biggest fault line. Like, where do I owe and where can I, you know, can I minimize what I owe, maximize what I own, and make sure what I own is not based on things that are shaky, like too heavily invested in high growth stock?
Right. And so you and I, during the last downturn, I mean, that's what I got hit really hard in my 401k and my IRA. And I said, you know what? Never
again. 2008.
Yeah.
Right.
I said, I don't want to go through that again. And so that's when we really started diving in and getting into rental real estate. So, you know, we've already laid that foundation. Now, what his point in this new book is that we will be able to pick up, you know, better assets because, you know, where we're able to get off market, deeply discounted properties now, which is what one of the things we focus on, and we're able to renovate and bring value to those. We put a tenant in there, you know, that's how we're able to run our turnkey real estate business at Morris Invest. But, you know, and we see appreciation and prices going up. And so, you know, we try to, you know, keep our costs as low as possible. But what I'm excited about is that we may be even able to get better value and better prices even in the next year as we're able to pick up some of these property, even more foreclosures on the market. Maybe, you know, you'll see more short sales. You'll see a lot of these things once again hitting our economy. Sadly, but these are the course corrections that he says we need to go through. Now, I also thought it was interesting, the China stuff. I don't know if you want to talk about that. He really thinks that China is the biggest problem.
Yeah. Well, why don't you explain that? Because I didn't read this. I read the last book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, we're going to have Harry on the show. But this was, again, you and I literally just had this conversation over coffee this morning, and we wanted to just share it. I mean, just like you're sort of a fly on the wall right now to what we were talking about over coffee, thinking about 2017. And, you know, one of the things he says is the biggest concern is China, and that it's really, you know, they overbuilt, they overleveraged. You've got like whole ghost towns in China that they built like high rise apartments that no one's living in. They're literally like brand new and like no one's there. And, you know, they've like massive debt. They've got a lot of issues. You know, everyone a number of years ago was talking about like, how's America going to compete with China? Well, it looks like China's having the problems now. And one of the things that Chinese are doing, they're only allowed to take $50,000 out of the country. Like they couldn't, they like send me $50,000 if I wanted to borrow it from a Chinese person. That's all the country allows them to do. However, they are allowed to take cash and buy a property, or buy a building. So the Chinese have been buying up buildings, you know, in Vancouver, this was happening. They're buying them up all over America. They're buying real estate. We actually, and our company sold some properties to some Chinese investors, you know, in cash. That's what most of our investors do. But the government can't limit that, or the Chinese government does not limit that. So they're able to come in and just buy 10 properties or an apartment complex. And in Vancouver, Canada, the Canadian government was like, you know, you're just buying up all these properties and it's hurting our Canadian citizens here. So they actually put a tax and a tariff on of Chinese purchases. So that kind of halted it, dramatically slowed it up. And his point is that as soon as the Chinese government gets wind of this and like cracks down on it, that's going to be a disaster. I mean, an absolute disaster, because their money is going to basically be tied in the Chinese economy in a way that these people are smart. They don't want that. That's why they're buying Western real estate. So if it's tied and it's the country sort of forces them to keep their money in this shaky Chinese economy, ooh, we're in for a world of hurt.
And this is something that economists have been looking at for a really long time, and they just, you know, they're watching what the effects of the global economy are. And so all of this, it affects all of us all the time, right?
Right. And, you know, these are things – that's why the stock market, as he points out, you know, he says, you know, that's why the stock market is so scary, because – there are all these market forces. He pointed out a stock that he owned for he was going to buy it at $113 a share. And suddenly, just out of the blue, it got clipped. It plummeted to a dollar. And, you know, he's like, that's the kind of stuff you just can't control. He said, but you know what you can control and what you have control over, and it cannot go away and it can't just evaporate, is real estate. You can never go down to zero value. Even the land has value. So it cannot go down to zero like a stock can.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, you know, I will share this little anecdote. I sometimes do a show on the stock exchange, because I'm a contributor for CNBC, and I finished his last book, and then I was doing this show. It's called Closing Bell, and it's a panel show, and I was on with sort of other stock market analysts, and I mentioned that I just read this book, and all of these people who are like have their entire living based on analyzing and investing in the stock market are like, don't listen to Harry Dent. It'll just scare you. And, you know, there's sort of this attitude inside the banks and the stock markets that like, we can't look at this. We can't think about this. We are stock market people. And so if you talk to people who are just live and die by the stock market, you know, they may not have a similar attitude about it, because they believe that markets are cyclical and it's not timing the market. It's time in the market. And if you just buy and stay there, you're going to be fine. Right. And for some, maybe that works. But, you know, what we're interested in here on this show is making sure that we have cash flow that will sustain us, not just sort of dividends based little trickle of money, but solid streams of income.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. One of the things he talked about, he was asked this question by George. He said, you know, you got wrong or you didn't accurately predict this one big indicator a number of years ago. And he said, well, he said, yeah, and we're willing to admit when we don't see it fully. He said, what actually happened in that regard is we started adding in an additional indicator. He said, we actually got it 50% right. He said, we actually saw that this one key problem was emerging and it actually did happen. He said, we thought it was going to be like at 100% full on. He said, it actually did happen. And it hit 50%. He said, so even at 50%, it was still a problem. He said, we didn't get to our number 100%, but, you know, we've now added in some extra indicators to make sure that we are identifying some of this foreign influence and other things. And so now we're more able to accurately see what's going on, sort of like foreign turbulence as an indicator, which they didn't fully anticipate before. So anyway, we're going to get Harry on the show. We've got a little newborn in the house who I'm actually holding right now in my arms during this podcast.
Oh, listen to her little girl.
And she decided, she's 5 days old. She decided to wake up right during this podcast because she heard us.
Mommy's coming.
But meanwhile, if you are interested in investing in real estate or at least, you know, taking that first initial plunge, we'd love to talk with you at Morris Invest. That's what we do all day long. We jump on the phone and talk with investors. I love it. Our team loves it. Just go to morrisinvest.com and learn more about what we do. If you'd like to book a call with our team, we would love to talk with you. Do you want to talk to our team?
Yeah, Eve won't be on the phone.
Eve will not be on the phone. She's only 5 days, but soon we'll get her on the phone.
Yeah,
it's a family. It's a family business.
She might just.
All right. Thanks everyone for subscribing. Thanks everyone for listening to the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we'll see you back here next time, everyone. Go out there and invest in real estate. Take action. Much love to you all. We'll see you back here next time, everyone.
Bye-bye.